Before I start the sermon, the last port of call, we have prayed extensively over the last couple of days, seeking God's heart, seeking His will for your town. And the one psalm which came up time and again, which I think is significant, Psalm 24, I've asked Nadia to just read it because it's relevant. And whatever we pray afterwards will resound with the words of the song.
Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For He founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek Him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is He, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty, He is the King of glory.
Thanks, Nadia. Okay, let's get going. What's in the name? The sermon was born in my heart about 4 weeks ago. I woke up. I think it's a surreal sort of state of awareness between sleep and dream and being awake and experiencing things happening. But it was an extremely dark, oppressive feeling that I had, all quiet in the house. I could hardly move, and I was sort of trying to wake Elspeth up, and she was murmuring and not really responding. And I was sort of leaning over to get to the bed lamp, put the switch on, and the bulb, only the glowing wires sort of lit up. And there must be a torch, and I got to the torch and I switched it, and exactly the same. It was really as if something was tapping into the energy in the room, and I couldn't really move. And I, this dark feeling, and I just started saying the word Jesus, 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 again and again and again. And by the third time, it just lifted up, and I was completely awake, and no oppression whatsoever. Just lovely feeling that I was in God's presence in that moment. And I thought, "Shwa." And I think many of us actually have that testimony. So I want to read scripture on what is in the name of Jesus Christ, specifically our Lord and Savior. And then we take it from there. Calling upon the name of Jesus Christ, an act of faith coming from a man when confronted with a situation where the cognitive powers of our soul simply cannot offer guidance, essentially a spiritual act based on testimonies of spiritual warfare and ministry. Jesus' name has been confirmed as the mightiest name on earth and all spiritual realm. And Jesus said to them, "Have you never read the scriptures? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and be given to the people who will produce its fruit. Anyone who falls on the stone will be broken to pieces. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they knew He was talking about them. "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers," this is Ephesians 2, "but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of His household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and with Christ Jesus Himself as chief cornerstone. In Him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit." Romans 10, "For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Promise. Promise 2, Malachi 3, "Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. So essentially, the right that we get when you surrender to Jesus, to call upon his name as your Savior, entitles you to a supernatural helper. But is this true? I can vouch for that because I had this experience a couple of weeks ago, but I also tested it with the members that were with me. And I have asked two of them to just testify, Dean.
Hello, hello. Earlier this year, me and my brother and my mother were at home in Strand. And me and my brother were in the office busy working. And all of a sudden we heard a noise in the kitchen. And as we came closer, we saw my mother was busy choking. And she couldn't breathe. And we didn't know what to do. So the first thing, it was like automatically we just start praying. And just praying, lungs open up in the name of Jesus. And just over and over. And each time, it was just as if she was just getting calmer and her lungs were just opening up. Praise God.
Thank you. Nadia, you also had an experience?
I dream quite a lot, pretty much every night. It's nothing special. It's just like my subconscious processing the day. But like once or twice in a year, I have a dream which I can then distinguish as being a more spiritual dream. And in December, I was on a holiday in a pretty dark place. It had a very dark environment. And the one night I was asleep, and it was a normal dream. And then the dream got really, really weird. And at a point in the dream, I realized this is an attack. So while I was sleeping, I felt that something was attacking me, and specifically that something was going to harm me. And this thing that was going to harm me was coming towards me. And in the dream, there was nothing I could do. So it's very much that paralyzed feeling. But all I could do was proclaim the name of Jesus and then start praying in the spirit over this thing that was coming towards me. And literally, it was as if a force field pushed it away and I was awake. And I knew and I prayed about it, and I realized that that was something that did want to harm me in my sleep. But even in my sleep, the Holy Spirit called to Jesus through me, and that warded it off.
Thanks. So yes, I think confirmation, both in Scripture and in the testimony of people, that is indeed true. My sermon is really to explore why this happened, how is it possible, and what does it take, and how does it qualify each and everyone to get to that place of holiness? Human society, or man without God, three driving forces. First of all, fear. Secondly, power. And thirdly, lust, if you want to have it in three categories of reasons why we do things. And we recognize fear as a dominant player in most of our lives. What we do very often anchors in fear, and that we don't grow to fulfillment because of this negative sort of experience of we can't really afford to take a chance, we can't trust God, and that it is a binding force. So I want to expand on fear, reflections on fear as a result of past failures, repeating negative patterns of the past, curses, be it generational or otherwise, spiritual blockages that we have in our lives, a lack of identity in terms of our authority in Jesus, that we don't really, although we might be born again, we often don't trust Jesus that he's really in control, an unbelief in God's promises and provision, that although the Word of God says something, do we really believe it, or do we have this nagging uncertainty? No experience of love, but rather a state of being destitute. We feel like orphans and not like sons. Low self-esteem, a poor emotional state. Intense worries regarding an impending loss to the point where it paralyzes the mind, that we have this, again, be it financial or what in whatever sector that we expect disaster to happen. Fear is essentially a demonic force employed by the enemy to isolate and cause doubt in a Christian's mind regarding God's protection. That is sort of a brief take on what you deal with when you consider fear and how it steals from us, even as followers of Jesus. Very often we stand in the state of doubt. The almighty name of Jesus Christ and the promise that the Word gives us that we may call upon him to conquer this fear. Let's explore that. The word of God directs us to call on the name of Jesus Christ as a recourse when we experience an attack. The testimonies that we listen to bear witness to this, as well as the promise that we get from the word. If I were to call upon the name of Jesus Christ, what sort of outcomes can I hope for? First of all, that all fear will be laid aside, that the almighty power of Holy Spirit as my counselor, as my protector, will allay any fear, any situation or threat that I might experience. Resisting the devil, the enemy has no hold on me or access to me because I'm standing in holiness of Jesus Christ, Jesus in me. The mere fact that I have Jesus in me will protect me from whatever evil might be heading my way. It's also a confirmation of God's love for me. You get to the point where you can actually say categorically that Jesus and I now may call each other by name, that he knows me by name, and that I may call him by name as well. And the net outcome as well, that I possess a love, a supernatural love, that enables me to love my fellow man. And after all was said and done, by being able to call on Jesus' authority, I became a witness of God's deeds through me and in me. My life becomes a story that God uses to reach the lost. How do I tap into this divine source? Perhaps a question, and let's explore. Divine gift of faith given by the Holy Spirit. Let's look at Scripture. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance what we do not see. Description of faith, godly faith. And God gave us a sound mind to combine with faith. 2 Timothy, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and a love and a sound mind. Understanding the gift of faith, God intervenes with his sovereignty and glory to work this miracle. For us, it is a supernatural ability to meet adverse circumstances with trust in God's words and messages. And if one were to sort of analyze faith, godly faith, 3 concepts or levels: saving faith, to really repent and become saved in Jesus, the faith of saved lives; an active faith, resulting in terms of showing in terms of fruit of the Spirit; and now the gift of faith as one of the gifts that Holy Spirit wants us to have. Follows the infilling of the Holy Spirit, produces miraculous results. This gift is not only operates in healings and in miracles, but in the realm of the impossible as well. And that is where we want to be. Saving faith, when we consider the gifts of Holy Spirit and the promise that when we ask for these gifts, it will be given. And if we relate to the promise that when we call upon the name of Jesus, that we should be in that place of faith that will evoke the supernatural happenings in our life. That we now pray and for those that are saved in Jesus, simply put, that we on a daily basis say, the word says, knock and you will be provided for. That we can ask Holy Spirit to fill us, give us that faith that will evoke the supernatural power, deal with whatever situation happens in our lives. For people that are not saved, it's easy. Well, that is what we're here for as a church, that we profess the message of love out there to say, repent of your sins, turn to Jesus, be baptized, and receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and the supernatural ability of this gift will manifest in your life. So that is, in short, the biblical background to this authority that we stand in, and that we can now call upon Jesus so that we will be in that place of absolute provision. I want to really just take time now that we can perhaps ask the question and say, my brother, my sister, where are you tonight? Do you have the conviction in your heart that when you call upon the name of Jesus, that he will, in a miraculous way, intercede? We are all finding ourselves in different circumstances. We are all finding ourselves in situations where we pray, Jesus, I need a breakthrough. Jesus, I need an answer. Jesus, please save me in this. Jesus, please, my marriage is going to places where it's not supposed to go. Jesus, relationship with my children has been destroyed. Jesus, I'm concerned, I'm worried about financial provision. My business is going downhill. Jesus, please, Jesus. And that what I suppose comes down to, my brother and my sister here tonight, are you in that place where you know when you call in the name of Jesus that the answer will be, yes, I'm there for you. There will be a supernatural deliverance happening. So I want to really ask and invite you tonight, and maybe the band can just come and play music in the background, that we turn our hearts to Jesus. And if you are in a place where you say, Jan was fine listening to the theory, fine listening to the scripture, but can Jesus really be there for me as well when I call upon his name, and that we pray with you. And you don't want to leave this place here tonight not knowing, not being convinced that God's promises are true for you. So my brother, my sister, if I may invite you to say, okay, maybe you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus tonight. Maybe you have been in a relationship for a while, but you have grown distant away from God. And it's just an invitation tonight to say, okay, Father, this promise that you have made, what's in the name? What's in the name of Jesus Christ? I want to make it part of me. I really want to wear it as a cloak. So anybody who is bold enough to say, Jan, I'm the man that you're talking to. I'm the woman that you're talking to tonight. I need that assurance. I need that certainty for the situation that I'm in today, or the fear that I feel about tomorrow. So, Father God, we just want to acknowledge that without you, we feel exposed. We really don't know where to turn to. We very often want to put up a brave face and make the world think that we're in control, but we know inside that we're not. Holy Spirit, I want to beg of you to please come and meet me where I'm at. Please, in the name of Jesus, bring me that infilling of your faith, the gift of faith, so that we can stand in authority when we have to face the reality of our existence and deal with the challenges of this world. Thank you, Jesus, that we don't have to depend on our own wisdom and yes, limited understanding of who you are, or yes, the enemy that we face. Thank you, Jesus, that you want to equip us, that you, when you say that you have ran the race, that you have won the battle, that it was also meant for me. Just want to turn to you tonight, say, Jesus, we call upon your name. We call upon the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Just flow over us, that your blood will cover us. Thank you, Jesus. I don't want to be out there, Jesus, without you. I don't want to be in a relationship without you.